Roger and James here from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit of kind of theory here of, has the Marvel Cinematic Universe benefited from not having the Fantastic Four and the X-Men as a crutch to kind of use to boost up the movies? Because while all the stuff's been going on with Fox and different movie franchises and who owns this and who owns that, there's no doubt that really, in my mind, that by not having the X-Men primarily as a easy fix back for when they were doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and kicking it off, that we had Iron Man and we had Guardians of the Galaxy, and you know, they've really kind of been an Ant-Man and things like that. Have had the X-Men been available, these characters might now have been given that big chance on the screen.
Yeah, and we've seen this happen on the Fox side of things. You know, they started out really strong with X-Men 1, X-Men 2. We won't mention X-Men 3, but that's for different reasons. And then you kind of get that feeling that they've been relying on Wolverine and Hugh Jackman to kind of carry the brand. Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique, also kind of carrying the brand. And we haven't seen a similar formula to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, you can definitely make an argument, you know, there are linchpin characters. Iron Man is obviously the thing that holds everything together right now.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Everyone that keeps going, I have a little bit of a difficulty with this, because whenever they're kind of going about, like, Robert Downey, yeah, okay, he's great, and it's, you know, I love seeing him as Iron Man and stuff. Like, personally, I think maybe just the Batman zone has just made me to that point now where you can flip these characters like that now. I've had so many Batman in my life, and so many people played Superman. It's only because Iron Man, we've only ever seen one person play him on screen. And we're still in that zone where Spider-Man's the same. We've got so used to seeing one character. Same with Wolverine. We've only ever seen Hugh Jackman as Wolverine on the big screen. Whereas so many of the other characters have been done to death, and we're more used to it. And I think they're in that special zone at the minute where they're, you know, Iron Man and Wolverine have only had one character, one person play them on screen.
Right. I'm not going to contest that at all. That's not what I was getting at, though. You know, more along the idea of you can tell it's a Marvel movie because there is an Iron Man influence in it. You know, him showing up in Spider-Man Homecoming, whether or not you thought it was a good idea, firmly tied that movie to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Having him show up in Civil War was that payoff to a decade's worth of storylines, and so on. And we've got these characters, but before we introduced to those characters, before we as a cinematic audience were introduced to those characters, you know, you didn't necessarily know who they were. You might be familiar with the name. You might be familiar with the basic idea of the character, but you didn't really know who Iron Man was. You didn't really know who Ant-Man was. Again, Captain America, I think most people know who he is, but you don't know the themes beyond he's the patriotic character. You know,
he's the poster boy.
He's the poster boy. He, you know, people burst into song when he's around, and you know, they want to go buy war bonds and join the army and be the manliest man that ever manned on the planet. But you don't actually know his stories. You don't know the things about Bucky and whatnot. So when you had the X-Men characters, Wolverine, Cyclops, the X-Men were arguably the biggest franchise that Marvel had between 1970 and about 2000, give or take. So even if you didn't know the minutia of the stories, you knew who Wolverine was. You knew who some of the core X-Men were. So they were a safe bet, which means that from a storytelling perspective, you didn't have as much to prove.
No.
You know, you could rely on that name brand to get you through it. Iron Man wasn't in the same boat when he was created. Now, you can argue how much of that was the storytelling, how much of that was Robert Downey Jr. just owning the role, you know, that kind of thing. But they had to do something special with Iron Man, and they did. If the first Marvel movie had been, regardless of whether it existed before, an X-Men movie or a Wolverine movie, would they have had to have taken that special care to be like, we need to make this a really good movie on top of people recognizing the character. And, you know, we could go back and forth on that, but I suspect they wouldn't have. Yeah. I suspect they would have been like, it's Wolverine. You want to go see him chop people up with his claws and stuff, and we would have gotten a much lower quality movie.
I think as well as there's part of it now as well of it sets up decades because now they can bring in all these different characters and stuff and start going down that line. But for me, it's things like Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and even Black Panther. Those are movies where they wouldn't, I don't think they would have had to go ahead had they had other characters to go along with. And I also can't help but, you know, Marvel are probably looking at it now going, they've had some massive success with these characters, which were B, C list heroes as far as the comic books were concerned before that. And now they are mainstream. You know, Black Panther is now, you know, he's now in that kind of special place now. This is a character which, up to a few years ago, even though he was he's been around for donkey's years, he's now mainstream. He's now a mainstream superhero. And, you know, that's because of a movie. A movie can hit places that other than a comic book and a video game and mobile tie-ins and books and cartoons can do something so much different than anything like this, you know. And that's the power of the movies and the power behind it. But then they can hit, you know, you can do damage with it because one Fox movie, look at the Fantastic Four are the exact kind of the opposite, where Fox got so much right with the X-Men, they couldn't get the Fantastic Four down, and they've rebooted it twice, and neither of them ever really set the world alight.
Yeah, and there's pretty good reason for that. They kind of coasted, especially the first one, you know, with Chris Evans as Human Torch and all that stuff. There was kind of, that was at the beginning of the superhero renaissance. That was right at the beginning of, you know, we'll take any superhero title and we'll slap it out there and people will buy it because people were just like so enamored with the genre at that point. And it showed. You know, they didn't put much effort into Fantastic Four. They really expected it to go by on name brand recognition or just, it's a superhero. You've heard of these superheroes, go see the movie. Daredevil was the same. I'm talking about the Ben Affleck movie, of course, not the...
I always did like that one.
You're not wrong for liking it, you know, but if you're going to look at it...
years later, it's not.
You're going to look at... Well, not even that. Although, that's true. But even if you look at just like box office sales figures, critical reception, fan reception, the overall vibes of it were, oh no, you just threw this out there as a cash grab. It even got the Elektra spinoff, and people were like,
"That was awful.
Why is this a thing?" And these were all, you know, in the build up to Iron Man, and we saw what was happening with these companies where they were just kind of like, superheroes, throw every superhero at the wall and see what sticks without any thought given to actually trying to make the movies any good. Mm. You know, and it hurt them. I mean, we did get Batman Begins out of this. You know, we got the Christopher Nolan Batmans. So there were good things, but we also got Catwoman. The movie that no one should watch ever.
No, but then really before not. That, I mean, you look back, I always think back to Blade.
Yeah.
Blade was like one of the best movies from before that. And they've never really kind of tapped back into that. I mean, they did that really bad TV series that I never bothered watching.
I forgot about that, honestly.
But and I remember Blade 3 being the big one because it had Triple H in it. But it was this kind of thing of like, you know, Blade, you know, a lot of people saying like, you know, Blade would be a good, you know, good Netflix series or something good to bring back to the movies and stuff. And it's that thing, I think, like you said, some of these characters, like the X-Men, they've allowed other characters room to grow by having this split. But then I look also then, like, you know, you look at things like The Gifted, Legion, some of these, like, TV shows, and it's like, this is what happens when it's all watered down, and there's not as...
I wouldn't call Legion watered down.
but to me, Legion's went so much the other way of, this is so bonkers, I just don't like it.
That's more my field, too. But
it was like, The Gifted was very bland.
It was a CW DC show with much better special effects and a kind of a tighter story because it was only 13 episodes. But I enjoyed The Gifted, but I also completely agree with you that it they could have done so much more with it, and they could have gone.
The X-Men were here once.
Yeah, congrats! Yay! It was even worse about that than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was, where it's like, the X-Men were here, and I fought beside the Avengers. It's like, great. At least you got Sam Jackson to be in the season finale of the first season and whatnot. But going back to Blade for a second, I think one of the things that made Blade so successful was that they didn't pitch it as a superhero movie. If you did not know that Blade was a Marvel superhero, those movies really wouldn't change at all. They're really just vampire hunting movies where the vampire hunter is a bit superpowered, but his powers also come from being a vampire. So, I mean, there's very little difference between Blade and, say, Underworld or Resident Evil. Yeah. I realize it's not a vampire movie, but same basic idea.
I've been watching The Strain lately. I'm about season two into that. You know, that's all vampires and things like this and vampire hunting. You know, it's that kind of, whether or not that would work in the MCU at the minute, it might open the things up. But, you know, Iron Man versus Dracula, that would be a kind of cool movie. It's that kind of weird thing. I think, like you said, the not having all these like issues, it's like the Hulk were universal. Where they can't make, Marvel can't make a Hulk solo movie because Universal own the rights to it. They own the rights to do anything they want with him in other movies, which is why he's in Thor Ragnarok and the Avengers and stuff. And in some ways it allows the Hulk to become, he becomes part of other people's stories, but he never gets to shine on his own. And in some ways that I think that helps the Hulk because he's a very simplistic character. I mean, I love The Incredible Hulk. That I did actually really like the Ed Norton movie. I do like watching it whenever it's on television. Or I didn't like the Eric Banner one. But that one's not
in continuity anyway. No. So,
but then I always liked the Ed Norton version of it because I always, you know, growing up in the 80s, we had The Incredible Hulk TV series on. We had, you know, we all waited for the last 2 minutes where Lou Ferrigno would turn up. That was all we were waiting for. It was like the 18. You just waited for the, you know, you were, that was the talking. You didn't bother about it. It was just a bit where he would smash stuff up. Right. And I think Hulk now, whereas Hulk, he only turns up to do the damage, and I think that works best for that character.
Right, and that actually is an advantage. I'm going to agree with you on this one. The Hulk is not really a character who can hold his own movie. Now you can say what you will about, say, Planet Hulk or some of the other classic stories, but he's not an interesting enough character to hold his own as the starring title, but he works great in a supporting role. And that's just the way some characters are. I would say the same thing actually probably holds true with the Fantastic Four. This is part of the reason why we haven't had a good movie with them, is what story do you tell with them? Is there an iconic Fantastic Four story? The only one I can really think of is Galactus. But how do you do that as a movie? Because a large part of what the Galactus story is built on is, even at that point, several years of continuity of kind of building up to this point. But you have to get to that point, and what stories do you tell in the meantime? Fighting Dr. Doom is great and all, but Dr. Doom is not really supposed to be the superhero fight. He's not supposed to be the guy in the middle of New York that, you know, all your superpowers are bouncing off of. Looking at you, first Fantastic Four movie. But and so some characters, some teams even, really aren't designed to be headline movies, but because of how known they are, they've been forced into that role. And that's why I think, ultimately, it was much better to let these other characters get a shot at it. Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, especially Thor, and I'm trying to think of other ones, but just in that first wave of characters, having Thor, you know, in there, get his chance to get the story told was great. And they would have been overshadowed by the X-Men. They would have been overshadowed by Fantastic Four. So it's the whole backdoor stuff has been awful for what this has done to the X-Men comics. And you know, they tried to replace the X-Men with the Inhumans, which was just awful. all around, just terrible, no matter how you cut it. And so that's a negative. But we would never have even gotten to that stage in the first place where they needed an X-Men team if they had started with the X-Men.
Well, I mean, things like that Inhuman series, it never would have existed had the X-Men not have had all that mess. And yeah, you could say, okay, it'd be better without them. But they're still interesting characters and a different concept of having an alien race of DNA in us. And it's like that kind of weird thing of, I think the trouble is with the X-Men is that the core storyline of being persecuted, and it hits a resonant in most people. That and also it's vulnerability, because every single X-Men has got weaknesses and has got limitations and stuff. Whereas I think like the X-Men, that's why it resonated so much more, was things that that superhero Superman effect of, and the Hulk, where they never feel at risk, and therefore that's a bit different. But no, like I said, I think it in some ways it helped them, but I can't wait. Now I feel like it's almost a thing of that made Marvel go in a different direction and kind of take some more risks and do something different. And like it's like, had they had them all originally, I don't know if we actually would have ever got the MCU the way they did it. I mean, you look at it now and you think, how could we, to go back to solo franchises and reboots and all the rest of it. We're in such a better place now where everything's interconnected, and Marvel is just a universe. And like I said, they can change out actors like that now. We've already seen it in the MCU. They're going to continue. It's like this thing about, we're going into Infinity War and who's going to die and all this kind of bits and pieces. And, Captain America's going to, it's like, just change the actor. We're all old enough now. We can handle it. We've gone through 1,000 Batman and 1,000 Spider-Man. We can have different actors. The characters are bigger than the actors that fill them.
Yeah, and you keep bringing that up, but I'm also got to say, yeah, I don't care if they come out and Chris Evans' contract on Captain America is up and they get somebody else to play Captain America, Steve Rogers. All right, fine. I'd be okay with that. To be honest, though, for storytelling reasons, though, let the characters freaking die.
Yeah.
Let them retire. Let Tony Stark disappear into the background and be just a tech guy who supports the other guys. It can be Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. It can be someone else. I don't care. But I would like to see them not fall down the rabbit hole the comics are in, which is you can never truly have a character go away. Nah. Because, Steve Rogers will always be Captain America in the comics. Logan will always be Wolverine in the comics, etc. The movies have a chance to not have to do that. If they feel they want to continue on, and you get Iron Man and you get, freaking Zac Efron playing Iron Man after Robert Downey Jr. I don't know. I'm just picking a name out of the air. Okay, fine. That we'll all learn to deal with it, just like we learned to deal with Don Cheadle taking over Rhodey in Iron Man 2. It's fine. I still, from a storytelling perspective, would rather let them retire characters and move on to new characters.
The only thing is, I do think, with Marvel, is this, and the thing with movies as a whole, is this thing about killing. The villains are the biggest problem, where they keep killing the villains off at the end because it makes a better movie. And it's like, well, they need to just run off and chuckle and go, I'll be back, and leave. They don't, it's that thing of killing them off all the time leads you to the problem where you have to reboot because your villains are all being killed off.
And I hope they don't reboot ever.
And it is that kind of weird thing of, it's like, okay, you might be able to say, for example, say like Yellow Jacket. Maybe he's actually just lost in the inner Sphinx. He didn't actually die. We didn't necessarily see it. But rather than killing them off all the time, it's like, you look at someone like, say, Batman from the 1989, when they threw him off the top of the cliff and he's there chuckling as he's going down. That thing of, for that solo movie on his own thing, he got contribution. But I don't like multiverses and time jumps and all the rest of it. It's like, don't kill them off, just have them run. Maybe I was used to the Batman TV show from the 60s, where they just laugh melancholically and they get in the car and they escape at the last minute and go, it's like, that's it, they beat you, you don't have to kill them at the end.
I think they need a mix of both. I think you know, sometimes it's perfectly fine to off the villain. I mean, there are certain times when you're going to be in a situation where it's like, yeah, if we let this guy live, we're going to have massive problems in the future. Let's just get rid of him now. But it doesn't have to be the only solution.
And it, in the raft, or, you know, or yeah, the moon bends or something like that.
And we do have a couple of surviving villains. We've got Abomination from the Hulk, and we've got Zemo from Civil War. And honestly, if they had saved a couple more of the villains, we could be looking at a Marvel version of the Suicide Squad, probably the Thunderbolts, which would be their version of it. And it would be done right. And that would be a great thing to stick into DC's eye and just be like, hey, you screwed up Suicide Squad. Here's how to do it right.
Yeah.
And But they don't have enough characters yet built up for that.
But no, it's going to be interesting what they do. But the MCU is definitely it's in a great place because we're about to hit the Infinity War. And I think there's a lot of excitement because suddenly everything's coming in from the other line. And I think the X-Men they're at a point now where everyone's like, yeah, you did really good with it. And then you kind of messed it up a bit. And then you've watered it down. And now please reboot it. And Hugh Jackman can't go on forever. He had to be given...
Well, he's already said he's not.
Yeah, he physically can't do it for much longer. And, you know, we need someone new. Just get someone new.
Honestly, if and when they bring the X-Men into the MCU, don't introduce Wolverine right away. Actually, you know what? We're going to save that for another time. I think there's plenty of conversation potential in that. So sorry for the teaser, but we're going to let that one kind of hang.
Yes. And on that, guys, let us know in the comments below or on social media what you guys think of our comments on this one, because we've been all over the place. But it's just a bit of a random discussion. Let us know. Check us out over at DiskKingdom.com. You can like, follow, subscribe on whichever video or audio platform you are watching or listening this on. Go check us out as well over the website. James, where can they find you?
They find me at heroiclegacy.com.
On that, guys. See you guys soon. Laters.
Later.